Good evening and welcome to Town Square. On this day, as we're watching very carefully what's happening on the Big Island, waiting for Hurricane Iselle to make its move to land. It's been moving ever closer. We still have a flood advisory for the island of Hawaii, and heavy rainfall has started. We will keep you updated as we move through the hour, and if anything other than what we've just told you continues to happen, then we will break in and talk to you about that too. Otherwise, we're going to switch gears and take a look at what possibly might be another hurricane happening this weekend. And no, we don't mean Julio. There are just 2 days to go before primary day, if all happens as planned. And it's a good bet that your mind is made up and likely has been for quite a while. Tonight on Town Square, political analyst and contributing editor of The Conversation, Neil Milner, joins us for a pre-primary look at the state of the campaigns, the issues that have been driving them, and what has emerged in this last week before the majority of voters make their choices. We'll talk about the polls, the differences in candidate styles, and how much the likability factor may be influencing voters, regardless of some of the facts about a candidate. And we want to hear what you have to say. First of all, when did you might make up your mind about the candidates you will support or perhaps have already given your walk-in or absentee vote? Our number here is 941-3689. If you are on Oahu, that's the number to use, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689 if you call us from the neighbor islands. And again, if you're on the Big Island, we hope that you are well and safe and well prepared for what is barreling down at you and all of us in the next many hours and over the weekend. Neil Milner, thank you for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome.
Looking at Saturday, it looks like that may be the lull, the time in which the primary can actually go forward. No one is talking about canceling it.
Well, they're not talking about canceling. Lots of people are actually talking about canceling, including much of the media that's trying to figure out how to prepare for coverage on Saturday. But as far as we know, the state has said it's going to go ahead. I assume it's because they can cancel very easily on short notice, and they're waiting just to see if there's any window in time.
Well, apparently from what the National Weather Service is saying, NOAA, all of them, that may be just where we have enough of a lull for people to get out. Not that it's going to be nice weather, but that it won't be, you know, such weather that people will be afraid to venture out.
Well, it's not just the weather. It's what happens to the infrastructure. Is there flooding? Are people going to be able to get to the polls? If the weather is good, but there's been some damage, then it's a judgment call about how much we should postpone it on the basis of inconvenience.
While we're talking about the weather, before we get to some of the other things, let's take this one on right at the top. There are a lot of people who are speculating that somehow, no matter what the weather is doing this Saturday, that it's going to have some sort of influence over the election. Looking at the data from many studies that have been done, one that was a 10-year longitudinal study in Kentucky by the University of North Carolina, others that are frequently cited, that doesn't seem to be the case.
That's right. I'll give you two quick answers, what would be called the rational choice answer and the answer that seems to be based more in some of these studies. The rational choice answer would say this: people who are most committed, most intensely involved, most find this the most important are the ones most likely to vote. And that makes a certain amount of sense. The problem with that model is that people don't always make decisions on the basis of that, and that you really can't tell who's going to be rational, who's going to make that decision or not. The evidence based on other studies, and there's just scattered studies around, is that it's mixed. Weather doesn't seem to make a big difference, and if it does, it's not clear it goes in one direction. There used to be some lore about it benefits Republicans. But again, here we're talking about significantly bad weather. I think the best thing to do is to say everybody's got a theory. We really don't know how it's going to affect things, either turnout or how people react once they get into the booth.
That's almost, you know, counterintuitive, given the fact that we've had so much weather over so many years that nobody has bothered to look at that. Or
well,
it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't make a whole lot of difference. I mean, there's certainly other things. The reason it doesn't make it, here's when it makes a lot of the closer an election is, the more that may make a difference. That for the same reason that the more anything small can make a difference, because small differences get magnified if the election is really close. But from what we know about how people make their choices, we know that something would have to be very significant for them to change the likelihood of voting. A very high percentage of people who say they are likely to vote, and that's what pollsters are always looking for when they're, at least they should be, when they're polling, end up voting anyway. So it's going to be a small minority of people who change their mind. It's far less important than all of these other more commonly talked about things. But I suppose in a close election, it could make a difference. But voting generally isn't about those kinds of small differences.
So the people who might fall away are sort of the marginal voters anyway.
Well, the marginal voters are always more likely to fall away. But here's an interesting hypothetical. On the one hand, elderly people are the most likely people to vote. People over 60 have very high turnouts. I'm not sure 60 is the breaking point, but it's around there. By the same token, is it more difficult for elderly people to get to the polls if the weather's inclement? We can argue about that for a long period of time. My estimate is that people who want to vote are going to be there. If the weather's really bad, well, then they'll call it off. But it takes a lot to stop the dedicated voter from voting. It doesn't take a lot to stop the marginal person from voting, but the marginal person is not likely to vote anyway. Remember, only a minority of people who are eligible to vote in Hawaii are going to vote in this primary, not a very big minority.
You just heard what Neil Milner had to say about who will likely turn out to vote given the weather. What about for you? If it's kind of nasty out there, are you going to go and vote anyway on Saturday if all things are open and reasonably okay and you can get into your polling place? Are you going to brave it and are you going to go? Give us a call, 941-3689. Let's just test this right now. 941-3689 if you're on Oahu, and if you're on the neighbor islands and are in a safe place to be able to call, our number is 877-941-3689. How committed to voting are you on this Saturday if it's a very, very nasty day outside?
Let me just go back to try to make that last point I just made more clear. If you had perfect Hawaii weather, 80 degrees, mauka shower or no mauka showers, nice trade winds, the surf was just the way it is, still you would only have 30% of the people who are eligible to vote actually voting. So we know that weather has got nothing to do with whether 70% of the eligible voters in fact vote. They're out, they're gone. You're not going to have those people anyway. So if you're talking overall, then you lost most of them already. If you're talking about that 30%, then we'll see what people say.
All right, we'll see what you have to say. We want to hear which group or which camp you think you fall into. Marginal voters, committed voters, depending upon the weather. 941-3689 if you're on Oahu, 877-941-3689 if you're calling us from the neighbor islands. And we're going now to Grace from Honolulu. Aloha, Grace.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you very much for asking. And I am a committed voter. I will vote early. I'll vote absentee. I'll do anything.
Wow.
Because we have warning when the storms are coming. So I'll make sure to vote ahead.
All right. I mean, you're quite right. We still have a little bit of time in which you can walk in and vote, at least today. Well, maybe now not. It's, what, 5 o'clock? So
yeah.
if it
but
hasn't
I'm just
been
saying,
done.
In general, I am committed and I will find a way to vote.
All right. Can I ask which age group you would put yourself in?
Oh, I'm over 65 already.
Yeah, we kind of figured that maybe when you're saying that you're that committed that you might be. What do you tell some younger voters who say, well, hey, it's not going to make a difference?
Would say that it absolutely will make a difference and that you stay involved is what matters the most.
Do you have younger members in your family who either went with you to vote or will go with
oh,
you to
I
vote?
I dragged other people with me, but they were about my age, but they find it hard to drive and stuff. So, yeah, I took other people to vote.
Okay, but those other people are coming with you because you're taking them so it's easier for them to get there, a matter of convenience
and
pleasant.
And I helped them to figure out how to vote or whatever it is. Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much, Grace, for the call.
And thank you for asking. You
my
have
pleasure.
A good one.
You too. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. We're talking with political analyst and regular contributor to The Conversation, Neil Milner, about these last few days of the pre-primary time, as many people have already voted. Some finished up today. We have a real primary happening on Saturday if all goes well and there isn't some reason to stop the primary
if Grace hasn't voted absentee, she can't vote absentee anymore unless she already has the ballot. If you want to vote early, you only have, two places to do it in, I think. One is the in the city and county buildings down in downtown, and I think the other one is in Kapolei.
And it's in today's the 7th,
that's
over.
That's right. That's right.
Just look at the clock and realize, yes, it is past 5.
So now, if you don't have an absentee ballot or if you didn't vote absentee, you've got to vote in the regular election. So weather becomes an issue for
some. Which is kind of why we're asking you that question. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Will the weather have any impact in your life as you are going to go out and vote on Saturday? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to Keikoa, calling us from Honolulu. Aloha.
Yes, hello.
Hi there.
Hi. You know, I wanted to respond to your question at the top of the program about when I decided to vote for a particular candidate.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, when I was all set to vote for Brian Schatz because of the fact that he was younger and would be able to build up more seniority. And then the results of the Cayetano suit against PRP came out, and I was just so shocked by the involvement of Schatz's chief of staff, Andy Weiner, in that, and the fact that Schatz refused to fire Weiner or anything. That really made me decide to strongly vote for Colleen Hanabusa on Saturday.
Despite the fact that it's Schatz who would make decisions.
Well, that doesn't matter. It's just something about Schatz's character that he would keep somebody on his staff as his chief of staff who was proven in court that he was involved in these sleazy campaign practices.
All right, let me get Neil Milner to answer
sure.
you on that one. And thanks very much for calling.
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Did you vote already, or are you going to vote? All right, sorry, we lost you. What do you have to say about that? That for him it was this moral issue that he didn't fire him.
Well, everybody has their own reasons. That is a reason that you saw show up. I think that the general feeling among political analysts is that's kind of, and I'm not, when I want to preface this by saying I'm not saying they're right. I'm saying this is what they say. It's what you would call an inside baseball issue. That is, most people who would be most concerned about it are the kind of insiders, the one who pay really close attention. And the average voter is less likely to even know about that and even see that link. I tend to lean in the latter direction. I'm not making a judgment on whether he should have fired Andy Weiner or not. But what I'm saying is that I think assuming that that's a big issue overestimates the voters' knowledge of that issue, and I think underestimates the other reasons that they're giving. If you look at the reasons that the polls, we can get to the polls later, but the polls say why people are supporting Hanabusa, the most important one is her legislative experience. So, yeah, people will call in and they'll all have their own reasons, and I'm not going to question the reasons because, you know, we all have our individual ones, but if you look at the bigger picture, it seems like that isn't too serious.
All right, so that's part of the bigger picture. We're going to go on now with more callers. We have Jennifer calling us from Kahului.
Hi.
Hi there.
So I'm in the 30. Well, I'm 30 years old. I'm a local kid here in Oahu. And I sent in my absentee ballot a couple weeks ago. I voted since I was 18. I probably pay attention some, maybe not as much as the gentleman that just called before me. But I think, for me, you know, I think because I'm in a new generation, I think I'm kind of realizing how effective it is to be part of the process, you know, because in my memory, since I've, you know, voted since I was 18, last year was the first time there were five parties represented on, or last time there was a presidential election, it was the first time I've ever seen five parties represented on the general election ballot. So, you know, it just kind of showed me that, you know, that means that there are other people, possibly, you know, the younger people that are voting that are kind of just looking for a change. And, you know, to have all those parties represented on that ballot means that they had 80% of their registered voters come out to support them, which, you know, I think is pretty impressive. And I, you know,
you wanted to be part of that. Jennifer, can I ask you, since you've already filed your ballot, any regrets in anything you did? And I'm not asking you who you voted for or any of that, but just anything you thought, maybe I should have waited?
No, I don't think so, because I tend to get at least basic information to kind of know what, you know, what the candidates are, you know, representing. And
so you did your due diligence, and you're pretty happy with what you did. Thanks very much for the call. Glad to hear from you. Going off now to Anna, calling us from Waianae.
Aloha. Hi, Anna.
Hi there.
This is Hannah from Waianae.
Hi, Hannah.
I guess first thing, I voted early voting. I thought I actually was going to do late vote. I thought I was going to actually be a permanent absentee, and then that didn't get hit. Then I apparently didn't happen. Anyways, doesn't matter. I voted early, and I was curious what the professor thought, whether or not, I know one reason why I voted early rather than wait until Saturday was because of the hurricane. I think I voted last week. And I was wondering what the professor thought that this might drive up that early voting. And that, of course, means that a lot of last-minute things.
Right. Hannah, we've been talking about that since the program started, really what impact the hurricane might have on Saturday or before. But just very quickly, if you want to capsulize some of that, Neil.
I think it may not have that much of an effect because people would already have gotten their early voting ballots. If you didn't have your ballots before we began to get some idea that there was a hurricane coming, there was no way that you were going to get it. So the only way people could respond relatively last minute to the fact that they might have trouble voting is to go to one of the open polling places. A friend of mine today in Hawaii Kai said, should I drive downtown to vote? And I was astonished that he was willing to do that. But that's what you would have to do in order to vote.
Having had that ballot, I mean, if you already wanted an absentee ballot before we even knew about the hurricane, what you're saying is you've already made the decision to vote.
Well, you made a decision to get the ballot, and we can assume that a high percentage of people who make a decision to get the ballot end up voting. But if you didn't have that ballot and the hurricane started coming along, you couldn't get the ballot.
Yeah. Right. Okay, thanks very much, Hannah, for the call. Going to Gig, calling us from Makakilo. And if you want to be next, our number is 941-3689. If you're calling from Oahu, and 877-941-3689. We're taking a last look at the primary before it happens, a little less than a day and a half from now. Where are you in all of this? Did you vote already? Will you walk in on Saturday regardless of what the weather is doing outside? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Aloha, Gig. Welcome to Town Square.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a couple points. One, you were talking about the weather, and it's interesting that some years ago we had a candidate who ran for Congress who was a carpetbagger. He'd come from outside, registered as a party member, and wanted to live in the Washington, Virginia area, and he thought the people of Hawaii would pay to live, have him live there. And on election night, it was rainy and inclement weather, and reporter asked him, well, how do you think the weather's going to affect the election? And typical of the rest of his knowledge about Hawaii, he says, I don't have any idea how things work here in Hawaii. You know,
so what's your
point? Democratic process, he did not get the people to send him to live in Washington, D.C.
Okay, but that has to do with the candidate, not necessarily about the weather per se.
No, but the point is that you know, we were talking about the weather affecting the elections, and you know, it does make a factor, but you know, we all have to do what we're supposed to do. We which is to follow the our conscience and to vote for the people that we vote for. And not
right.
voting is worse.
All right, Gig, we're gonna stop you right there. I think we've got your point. Thanks very much for the call. Going now to Karen, calling us from Kaneohe.
Hello. My husband and I did receive our permanent absentee ballots 2 weeks ago. We filled them out and mailed them in immediately. And I really don't think that anybody has an excuse not to vote because they make it so convenient to vote. You can get these forms for permanent absentee ballots from the post office, the library, satellite city halls, or you can download them from the internet. And you need to put in www.hawaii.gov/elections, and you get the whole set of instructions. So you can't let the weather stop you. Just do your homework and turn in your ballots.
A nice prescription. Citizen. Do your homework and turn in your ballot. Neil Milner wants to respond to you. Thanks, Karen.
A couple of things, Karen, if it could only be that easy. We have a lot of good research that says just those kinds of moral persuasion efforts don't work very well. That doesn't mean you quit trying, but it means that there are other ways you have to do it. But to me, what's interesting is that in theory, making absentee ballots easier would increase the turnout, at least slightly. But we haven't had an increase in turnout and voter turnout. In fact, our voting turnout over the years keeps getting lower. What I think is happening is that the people who vote absentee are the people who are the most attentive to politics because they know what you have to do to vote early and they pay attention. So the people who are voting absentee would be the ones who would be most likely to vote anyway if you went down to the regular ballot and had to cast your ballot on election day.
All right, so that's pretty much it for about the weather.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
I think we're going to move off of that one. I mean, the weather's coming at us, whether we want to talk about it or not, no pun intended. But at this point, looking at some of the other issues surrounding this primary election, let's get to the poll stuff because we saw some very wild polls in the last couple of weeks, wild in the numbers, an 18-point spread in the Star Advertiser poll that we saw last Sunday with Senator Ige leading. We saw a 10-point spread in the Civil Beat poll, repeated from the one that they did several months back. Do you believe these polls?
Well, it's not like believing in a religion. You've got information in front of you and to do your best you can. And there's the usual kind of reasons are given for these differences. I'm not convinced by the reasons. But let's just look at it from the average voter. If I look at these polls as an average voter, I would say two things. I would say for whatever reason, the best sense you can make out of these races is this. The Senate race, the U.S. Senate race, appears to be a toss-up. Now, I'm not saying that in a sense of being on high. I'm saying if you want to use the polls for a guidance, that's about the best you can do there. That is to punt. There are some arguments about the distribution ethnically of the survey. There's all kinds of sophisticated issues. I don't want to get there. I don't want to go there now. If you look at the governor's race, you can see at least a pattern over time. That is, from early on, both polls had Senator Ige leading in a surprisingly large manner from the beginning before he ever got his campaign even started. We can argue about how much he ever got his campaign really started. That's the amazing things about this election. That distance has stayed about the same in all of the polls, and it remains a fairly significant difference up to now. So the polls, if you read them that way, if you don't have any faith in any one of them but look for the patterns, you go there. The House race, it's just what you would expect. There's a bunch of candidates who are all known fairly well in certain parts of the state, certain parts of the district, but have never had to really run district-wide like this. You can look at the polls and you say, hey, you know what? It's close. That's the best you can do. Polls are a snapshot. There are ways you could probably improve polling here.
If we had a real tracking poll.
Yeah, there's two ways to go with this. One is to track more, okay? That is, you have more polls. The way that the good pollsters 538.com. That is the national pollsters. They have a tremendous load of polls. They poll over time. Some of them can, you know, they're polling regularly. And through some statistical manipulation and through some of your own just looking at the things, you can make some kind of judgments. That's the typical way. There are new ways of polling called internet opt-in polling that are starting to be used that are having some very promising results. And I, again, without going into details, what happens there is a website called YouGov. YouGov says, hey, you want to be part of a poll? We'll pay you. Put your name in there. And it's essentially an opt-in poll, and then they adjust on the basis of characteristics they get from you. How you fit in. This deals with some of the problems. It's controversial. The state of the art is controversial, but the evidence is good. The evidence is pretty good. But for now, just for now, you can assume that our polls are going to jump all around, that the explanations for that are, to me, not all that convincing. I'm not all that convinced about Hawaii voters responding differently to polls. I know that Becky Ward says this, and she's a very good pollster. The evidence has not been very clear on this. So don't screw around with trying to figure out why these polls do it for now if you're a voter. If you just want to get a sense, it's what I said, is that there's a pattern for one, the other one's a toss-up. And
which means that all those other factors that we talked about, whether it's ethnicity or likability, or, you know, you just appreciate how somebody dresses, it's something that is going to appeal to you in a certain way.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
I'm
saying there clearly are patterns. But there clearly are differences among the candidates, and there are some of them are identified in the poll. But I'm saying if you want to figure out who's going to win, which is really not what polls do anyway, they all talk about their snapshots. But if you want to make some kind of judgment so people don't have to ask me all the time when I'm working out in the gym, right, the best thing you can do is to say there is a kind of a gross pattern here.
Right, but not when there's a toss-up. I mean, when you say that there's a toss-up.
Oh, that way, sure.
And you're trying to look at whether or not you have a probability for one or the other, which is not really the point of the poll at that point.
Well, the best thing, if it's a close race, what's most likely to determine the race is turnout. That is, who is at the last minute best able to turn out
to
marshal their forces. Yeah. So you watch what happens if this election goes forward, but it's raining outside. You're going to find these candidates having all kinds of volunteers helping to get to the polls. And remember, they can track whether you voted or not. They're in real time. They can't find out whom you voted for. And so they'll call you. They'll maybe help you get to the polls. You know what Grace was saying she did for her friends. That's what candidates are going to have to do. And a lot of the last-minute stuff is to make sure that you're turning out.
All right. We've got a couple callers more, and then we're going to take a look at some of the characteristics that we've seen come out of the campaigns in this last week. Going now to Albert, calling us from Kohala. Aloha, Albert. Uh-huh. Welcome to Town Square. Hope you're doing well on the Big Island.
Well, we're doing the best we can. I think the election should be canceled. I'm a senior citizen. I'm having trouble going to get to the election. I didn't do it by absentee ballot. Furthermore, we've had a challenge on the Big Island. We had three very shiny, glossy, pro-certain candidate flyer sent to us from Oahu to try to overthrow our anti-GMO candidates on the Big Island. And we're in an uproar. And this is from Forward Progress Organization. The executive director, who is John White, who was involved in slamming his Cayetano campaign, and he's behind this.
Okay,
and we're outraged in our small communities on the Big Island.
Okay, but
now we're having trouble going to vote. I think this election should be canceled.
But Albert, that has nothing to do with it.
I think the rain is making a big effect on us.
Okay, Albert, hang on a second here, because the rain and being a senior citizen and having that be a real challenge for you. You know, that's part of the issue. As for all of the other stuff that comes into your post box and what they're saying and where it's coming from, you as a voter have to make a decision, as I'm sure you already have, whether or not that has any importance in how you make your decision. So really, it comes down to you being able to vote on Saturday. If the election is not canceled, are you going to be able to vote?
I will have to ride a bicycle or walk to the voting area if I don't get a ride.
How far,
what I'm saying is,
how far do you have to go?
Wait, excuse me. These points I made are very important because we don't know what the game of campaign funding is from Oahu and how it affects our elections, our local elections, and home rule on our island. And there has been unscrupulous campaigning with a lot of money from Super PAC and from the Forward Progress Group.
Okay, so what's different this time around than last time when we saw some of that happening too? Didn't you still have to make a decision whether or not you were going to buy into any of that?
Well, the point is, I do a lot of research because I have a news site, but the average person gets these pieces of expensive flyers in the mail, and they don't always know the reason, the bigger reasons behind them, that there are unions involved, that there are this group or that group involved, or the person who just got sued for doing similar activities in the Cayetano campaign.
So, Albert, what about the money that's going in, the national money that's going into the anti-GMOs? Isn't that coming from similar kinds of sources? Isn't it some national money?
Monsanto and these other groups, Syngenta.
No. Listen.
I'm talking about the major money. So they're going into politicians' pockets. We know who took money.
Okay, well, no, we're not going to go into that conversation now. We're really trying to see how the impact of the weather may have some sort of import on how people turn out on Saturday or not, and also to look at some of the characters. Obviously, he's angry about the kind of materials that he got, and obviously, you know, you have to make a decision when you get something, whether or not you're going to buy into it, whether you believe it, and how much due diligence you're going to do to find out about
it. Well, let me just go back to what Albert was saying. I understand his anger. I'm certainly not going to question his anger. I think the broader picture on these anti-GMO, GMO things is that you've got some heavy hitters on both sides that are stepping in, that the anti-GMOs as well as the GMOs
from out of
these islands, from out of state. Yeah, I mean these questions about regulating GMOs or prohibiting GMOs has become a national issue. You've got money coming in from the outside through PACs and through others on both sides. So I don't want to have any illusions here that it's only the big money and it's only the outsiders who are interested in GMOs. The anti-GMOs people, it's an important issue for a lot of national anti-GMO folks. They're involved in this, too.
And they're going to pull money from both sides because they're trying to counter it. Our number is 941-3689. If you would like to counter some of the arguments that you hear Neil Milner making, we want to hear from you, too, or just to weigh in on how you are going to be able to get out and vote on Saturday, regardless of what happens with inclement weather. 941-3689. 877-941-3689. If you are on the neighbor islands, that latter number is the one to use. Going now to Jason, calling us from Kahului. Aloha, Jason.
Oh,
thanks very much for your patience.
Yes, I had two quick points, and then I'll let you comment. First of all, I don't think we should ever vote for the least worst candidate. Ralph Nader brought that point up. You never get someone you want voting for. You never get the government you want voting for someone you don't want. So point is, you should only vote for a candidate for a compelling reason. And if you don't see any candidate in either party that you really want, then leave it blank. I am very much in favor of just leaving the space blank, leaving both spaces blank, and moving on to the next candidate and going right down the list and not only voting for someone that you really want and have a compelling reason to vote for.
Okay, we got your point. I want to have Neil be able to comment a little bit for you. Okay, this idea of least worst candidates. I mean, somebody would say, you know, anybody but fill in the blank, depending upon what race you're talking about. And he's saying, well, then he just leaves it blank. Is there really a downside to leaving something blank?
Depends on your political ideology. I mean, there's a couple of things. Ralph Nader has never been able to win, despite being a very compelling character, very compelling candidate, who's very much respected. He can't win because of the way the two-party system is. The other thing to say is that for whatever reasons, most voters are very attached to one party versus the other. It's hard in a two-party system not to have to make a choice between one candidate that may be flawed or another. I guess another way of saying it is that Jason is very different in how he thinks about this thing from most people. He's exceptional because he's kind of a thoughtful independent. He looks carefully at the candidates on both parties. He'll make a principled decision not to vote. Most independents are not like that at all. We know this from surveys. We know this from all kinds of other things. I would guess that less than 10% of people who call themselves independents in fact behave in this shifting back and forth and carefully. Because what we've discovered is that if you ask people in polls, what do they call themselves? And there's been a huge increase in the number of people who call themselves independents. If you ask them which way they lean, where have they voted, it turns out that if you put leaners in, that most independents tend to vote either regularly for one party or regularly for the other.
They just don't want to call themselves by
that
label.
Well, why? We don't know why. Actually, the people have looked at it and they actually don't know why. The explanations are not very good. But for some reason, they want to call themselves independent. And we can think of reasons why. They're tired of the two-party. I mean, there's kind of a negative notion about the party system. But when you look at how they vote, a good, I would say, 85% of the people who are independents vote one way consistently or the other way consistently.
This week, as you've looked at what we've seen on TV, some of the material that has come to your postbox like everybody else's, any difference that you see in this last week from the way the candidates have been running their campaign, any campaign up till that point?
No, actually, it may be that I'm not paying close enough attention. But if you have to pay that close attention, it's not getting that way. Every candidate wants to talk about how much they support We Kupuna. I mean, they support the old folks. Everybody's got pictures of that. They're talking about Social Security. They're talking about Medicare. It appears to me that what most of the ads are doing in the last part of it are basically redundancy. Now, redundancy is really very important because people forget the messages. Again, there's a lot of research. I mean, you know, you see a campaign ad. And the average amount of time that you remember that is very short. That's why you get a lot of repeated mailers. That's why you get a lot of this stuff. So a lot of this campaign in the last section is there are no surprises. There are no surprises here. It's repeating the positive messages about the candidates or the slightly negative messages about the other candidates that have followed similar patterns.
Our number is 941-3689. If you're on Oahu, that's the number to call, 941-3689. If you're calling us from the neighbor islands, 877-941-3689. Did anything shift for you in this last week as we're running up into the primary if you have not yet voted? And even if you did decide to walk in this week or if you recently filed your absentee ballot, did anything shift for you kind of in the 11th hour, aside from the fact that it might be kind of nasty on Saturday? Maybe there might be a window of time to get out and be able to vote. But even so, did any of this play into how you shaped your votes going into the primary? 941-3689, if you're on Oahu, call that number, or 877-941-3689. We talk a lot about the difference of style and substance, and that seems to be a big argument in the gubernatorial election, looking at very, very different men, very, very different styles, what they see as being substantive reasons for them to be elected. But then again, the one sort of big heavyweight thing that we're not talking about is that we have a governor who may be in serious trouble going into this election, and that's kind of, you know, counter to everything that we see or so much of what we see when it comes to incumbents, that they usually are just reelected. Was it less than 20% chance of them not being reelected? So this seems to put us in a very, odd place and quite unique among those states now having gubernatorial elections.
That's right. You have to remember, only one incumbent governor has ever lost here when he ran for reelection. That was Bill Quinn in 1962. Overall, nationally, between 1992 and 2010, less than 20% of the incumbent governors who ran again lost, so 80%. This time, it appears as if very few incumbent governors are in trouble. there are maybe three or four. One is Kansas, where there's a real policy reason for it because the governor instituted with the cooperation of legislature some tax policy. There is no compelling reason here. There is no obvious reason here, and so there is a difference. Whether it's style or not is, I think, to call it style is a little bit narrow. It's pretty clear that Abercrombie, there are two things, that he's got not a very good approval rating. Although when you just look at the numbers, it's not so bad compared to lots of other governors. I mean, it's gotten a rap as being bad.
Makes it all the more strange.
Well, but the more significant thing is that for whatever reasons people have chosen, that the vote for Ige seems to be, if you look at the reasons people gave, it seems to be they don't like Abercrombie. So it's approval, which may be a combination of they don't like his style and they don't like his substance. And we can think of examples in each of those categories. But to me, what's really interesting and really significant is that these are collections of little individual things. There's not one compelling thing. And somehow, what I guess you would call a master narrative, a master story has developed about Abercrombie that seems to be much deeper than I would ever think among the grassroots. People were making judgments about these gubernatorial candidates before they even knew who Ige was. And this is not meant as a criticism about Ige. I think there are still people voting for him who have trouble remembering what his name is. But somehow the combination of this story here, some policy issues that some people really get excited about and don't like him on, Kakaako being one, and the media helping to create this story, and this not being unfair, have been able to do this.
All right, let's get back to some callers, folks who want to join the conversation. That could be you if you call us soon, 941-3689, if you're on Oahu, 941-3689. If you're calling us from the neighbor islands, 877, then the 941-3689. Going to James calling us from Makiki. Aloha, James. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha, how's it going?
Pretty well. How about you?
Good. No, I was calling about the lieutenant governor's race, actually. I think that's a very interesting one to pay attention to.
Why?
Well, mostly because of the ad that I just recently seen from Senator Clayton He, Yan Shanshu Tui. And it's an attack ad to a certain extent, but at the same time, it shows that the current lieutenant governor, he holds this office over in Maui. And why? There's a lot of other representatives and senators that represent outer islands and our neighbor islands, and they don't have a office back on their island.
Well, and I think it's interesting, first of all, and thanks very much, James, for calling in, that someone is picking on the LG's race, because usually that's not one that gets a whole lot of discussion.
Well, and with good reason.
Good, I'll let you say that.
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing about a lieutenant governor's race in the primary, frankly, is that whoever wins that doesn't hurt the candidacy of that person that she runs jointly with in the other one. It's not a very important office. Now, it can be a building block. I mean, we've seen it with a number of people jumping from lieutenant governor to governor. But it's a very low awareness kind of thing.
But anything to what he said, that his annoyance that, Shansu Tsui got to be over there on Maui?
Well,
aside from the fact that it made for a really good gridiron fodder.
Well, I have nothing that I can really add to that. If he thinks that that was a reason, it turns out to be a reason. There's certainly, again, this is one race that's very hard to figure out what's going on because you don't know very much about either one of those candidates as lieutenant governor candidates.
Our number is 941-3689. If you want to weigh in about the very last week that you've been observing, what we will have happened during the primary, different things that might be impacting your choices. We want to hear from you, 941-3689, 877-941-3689. Going to Michael calling us from Kailua. Aloha, Michael. Thanks for your patience. Michael, you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi there. Welcome to Town Square.
Thank you very much. I just had a very short comment in response to the previous caller that was against the idea of voting for what he considered to be the lesser of two evils.
Yes.
And this is a political concept that I never quite understand. In our life, in our normal life, we continually make choices for the lesser of two evils. I think anybody who wouldn't make a decision to choose the lesser of two evils is just, it's a complete denial of the political process, in my opinion. So that's really all I wanted to say.
Okay, Michael. Thanks for that. Now, Neil, that speaks to something that's bigger and deeper and not just a matter of what Michael feels personally, but the idea that we don't have the level of politicians that some people thought perhaps we once had, that there aren't any statesmen, that there aren't any real leaders anymore, that we've come into a very different era.
You know what?
Any truth to that?
I've thought about this a lot, actually, and now that I'm a geezer, I can say that's a geezer's argument, right? I grew up in Milwaukee, and the expression that would be used there would be, years ago, things was different. And what they meant by that was things was better. I don't know. I don't
think
our
days.
Yeah. You know, the presidents that are, you know, the presidents who have become extraordinarily well-known and turned out to be extraordinarily gifted didn't necessarily have that gift apparent when they were elected. Who knew that much about Abe Lincoln or Franklin Delano Roosevelt or so on? When an extraordinary crisis came along, they knew how to match it. So I'm not at all convinced that the character – now, that's not to say I'm totally satisfied with what politicians are like now. But the thing that angers most people about politicians, at least what they say, is that they're too partisan, except when people vote, they don't have much of a problem with partisanship.
So really some of this turns out to be a happy accident if you have a time that needs great leadership and you have a great leader.
Sure. But there's another thing. Don't forget that voting is not the only way to participate in politics. If you have a view that says that candidates are not equal or that we keep having the same kind of process, you can do other kinds of politics, grassroots organizing. You can try to form a third party. You can do other things. Don't ever forget that voting is just one act and a relatively simple act. These other things that I just suggested to you are much harder.
We're talking tonight about the primary, what's been leading up to it in this last week, last couple of days, what impact you may be feeling from it. Did any of this change your mind if you have yet to vote? Did you decide a long time ago who your choices would be? If so, how long ago did you decide? 941-3689 is our number, or 877-941-3689. And regardless of what the weather may do on Saturday, will you make your choices known by getting out to vote? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. If you call us from the neighbor islands, going to Sunny calling us from downtown Honolulu. Aloha, Sunny. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha. Professor Milner, do you think if, and I was in your poli sci class about 20 years ago, so I'll put that out there. Do you think if Mufi loses, we'll hear from him again or he'll be running for office again?
Is this the last of Mufi, is what you're asking?
Hey, yeah.
Were those the kind of questions you asked me when you took my class, Sonny? I can't remember. The only Sonny I remember was a drummer with Cecilio and Capone, and you're not him. That one took my class.
I am not him.
No, you're not him. I think that you never can say for sure that a politician is done, but I think that Mufi Hanneman is definitely on a downward arc. I think that Mufi Hanneman has gone from being a highly successful campaigner to being a kind of flawed campaigner, and is getting close to being a tragic campaigner. This is going to be an important election to see. So, and some of that is maybe about how he behaves. A lot of it may be about the voters changing their minds about him. But I never, as I used to say about Frank Fossey, they would say, why would he keep running for mayor when he was in his 80s? Because he likes the idea, and that may be the same.
Sonny, good question. Thanks very much for the call.
Aloha.
Aloha. You mentioned, you know, the stages that you saw the arc of him as a campaigner taking, and in those stages, did you have a clear moment where you thought, this is it, this is the make or break point, and he's breaking it?
I think that you could see it. I could see it into the Tulsi Gabbard campaign when it was clear she was doing well and he had kind of fallen behind. But I think one of Mufi Hanneman's difficulties is that he has to run as a Democrat he runs as a Democrat in partisan elections. Mufi was elected as a mayor in a nonpartisan election. he's run when he runs as a partisan. He's run as a Democrat. But I think a lot of Democrats, certainly the progressive wing of the party, don't like him, don't trust him. In some ways, they have the same opposition they do with Ed Case, but I think with even more animus. And that's something that he isn't. And it's what's the surprise? He's running as an independent this time.
So you think this is really the make or break moment?
Well, I think if he can't pull it off this way, I mean, far be it for me to plan his career, but it's going to.
But he might want to rethink a different career if things don't go well this time.
Yes.
Okay, right. Going on now to Carly calling us from Waipahu. Aloha, Carly. Welcome to Town Square.
Hi.
Hi there.
For taking my call.
Sure. A pleasure.
So I had a comment about you guys are talking about people who had made up their minds about voting for candidates in advance. And I just want to say, you know, I made up my mind 2 years ago about who I was going to vote for governor. I voted originally when he first ran for Abercrombie, partially because he was a union candidate. And when he got in, first thing he did is since he started negotiating contracts with the unions was to try to bust the unions. And I really, I think that that's just inappropriate for a candidate.
So, Carly, 2 years ago, you didn't know whether there would be a candidate running against Abercrombie. Basically, what you were saying is you were going to vote against Abercrombie. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much for calling and letting us know.
All right. Thank you.
Aloha. Going now to Cindy calling us from Waianae.
So I also had made my decision long before the election who I was going to vote for. Part of it is because Abercrombie criticized Lingle for the furloughs, and he still did the furloughs, claimed not to do them, but just changed the name to standard time off without leave. Now, if he'd been honest and just said, oh, we need to make this budget cut, let's do this, and I'll make it a little easier for you by letting you choose what day off you want without pay, that I would have accepted that and had respect for him. But all he did was change the name.
Okay, so Cindy, your point.
The State Department's changed the name.
So your point is similar to the one that we just heard from Carly, that you feel like you got burned, and even though you had no idea who might be running against the governor, you simply were going to not vote for the governor. Okay, we got it. That seems to go back to what we talked about a little bit earlier this hour, that people have lots of different reasons and that they're all, well, sort of the aggregation of all of those may not make it a very good situation for the governor come Saturday. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Couple more days, actually, maybe a day and a half until we hit the primary. I keep looking at that clock every time it keeps going by, and we're getting closer and closer to the primary, whatever it may be doing outside. Are you going to get out there and vote? Does anything change for you because of A, the weather, or B, what you've heard over the last week or so leading up to the primary? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Is there anything in the campaigns that you saw this time for the primaries that struck you as being truly different?
No, I didn't see anything that's truly different, because I think that most of what happens that's different happens in the campaign strategy level that is less visible, not necessarily purposely hidden.
But nothing gets really that obvious to the rest of us.
No, I don't think the ads were different. The formats of the debate were only marginally different. The ways that the candidates responded were so I don't want to say that there weren't any small ones, but overall, this just seemed pretty much the same, pretty much the way that you would run these campaigns in any other situation.
All right, we're going to go now to Una calling us from Captain Cook. Aloha, Una.
Aloha. I just wanted to say that, the governor's irritated me a few times in the last 4 years, but I voted for him because he gave marriage equality and he gave us Brian Schatz.
So you've got your bag of reasons too, which kind of goes back to
reasons. This is really a kind of typical way that an incumbent survives.
That's what I mean by real
incumbency.
Reasons.
Incumbency is a pretty low bar. That is the best way to defeat an incumbent is a scandal. right? And what generally happens is that people have their objections to a candidate. They have their gripes about the candidate the way Una did. But something just drove them forward. We're talking about primaries here, not the general election. Something was enough to say, we'll keep it going. That's why most of the time it's a referendum about the incumbent, and the incumbent comes out all right. This is an exceptional kind of situation.
Do people realize how exceptional this situation may be?
I don't think so. I mean, that's being unfair. If people pay attention, that is, the most attentive voters certainly know that. Whether less attentive voters know or care, why it's not, it may not be important to them. Hey, you know, it's important to me because I used to make my living doing this, right? That's what I do when I get called a political analyst. But I think for the average voter says, I don't like Abercrombie, and I'm not going to vote for him anymore. Look at the early comments that we had, those two right in a row that said he did some stuff that got me so angry that anybody else I was going to vote for. I think that's the more compelling thing rather than how exceptional it is. Exceptional is about what I do. Who's the best candidate is about what voters do.
Some of the factors playing into this, we talked a little bit about that earlier in sort of oblique ways, but just to cap the hour, looking at that likability factor and the importance for some people of the ethnicity factor in that too. You mentioned earlier, you know, Becky Ward saying that that's a big deal. Others who have said it's a big deal. Is that what it's going to come down to in some ways for a lot of people?
I don't think an election comes down to anything. What people overly simplify here, they say the Japanese are heavily Democratic, which they are, and the Japanese Americans are certainly more likely to vote for Hanabusa. But by the same token, Howleys are also, also more likely to vote in a certain direction. They're disproportionately likely to vote for Schatz, for example. Ethnicity certainly plays a role in any election. It plays the role as part of a mix, and it certainly isn't the dominant decision-making process for most people. The Japanese Americans have had a chance to vote for well-known Republicans who were Japanese American and didn't. In other elections, Pat Psyche, for example, is an example like that. In a close election, maybe ethnicity makes a difference. Maybe again, in a close election, it'd be definitive. But it's not fair to any ethnic group here just to single them out as if they're the only tribal ones and the rest are not so much.
Just trying to work through some of the simplistic arguments that we hear for a lot of things going into elections. Anything to the idea that this election versus any other election has something more to do with the times that we're in, or the fact that we've seen a great deal of change in our congressional delegation, that there is any alliances or there are any alliances that have been built or not built?
You know, getting back to the idea of a hurricane, every time we have an election here, people talk about it as if it's going to be a hurricane, that something sweeping is going to happen and things are going to change. What we end up is having is a maca shower. And there doesn't seem to be any reason to think that that's not the same here. There is nothing. People tend to form certain kind of voting habits, and that's not likely to change dramatically. Whether Schatz wins or Hanabusa wins is not going to have to do with some kind of winds of change. It's going to have to do with more traditional kinds of things.
In some of the very close races where there are a great number of similarities among the candidates, did you think anybody distinguished him or herself better than another when there were so many similarities?
Well, I think they tried. I think something has happened with Mark Takei that allowed that to take place. I think the Senate candidates tried real hard to do it because they're very much alike and you have to find differences. And so Schatz really was trying to sell himself and did a pretty good job of selling himself as the progressive Democratic candidate. Hanabusa sold herself as being the more competent one, and in that sort of sense.
Anything else? Very quickly, you got
about
20 seconds.
Real quickly, here's what I want to say. If you think about who called and who didn't call, nobody called and said, I'm not voting, and here's why. Remember, everybody who called today is a voter, and they all expressed opinions that is based on the fact that they want to vote. You don't know what the rest of the people think about politics.
All right. Well, those are the people we have calling us on this show. Thanks so much for joining us today for Town Square. I'll see you tomorrow morning for the conversation. And everyone on the Big Island, we're thinking of you. Be safe. Be well.